Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner, and we are switching gears, coming back home to Baltimore to talk about the Ravens. They've fired Cam Cameron, lost the last two games in a row. People are questioning what is going on, and we have with us here in the studio Sarita Hubbard, who is publisher of the sports blog NFLChick.com and GridironGals.com. Good to have you in the studio.
Thank you for having me.
Got to have a woman's voice here. All these men just get on my nerves. Ali Danois is with us. Ali is a frequent contributor to WEAA's The Baltimore Blend. By the way, tomorrow morning, join us. We'll be live tomorrow morning from North Street Arts Cafe in Baltimore Blend. I'll be there co-hosting. He's also senior editor of Bounce Magazine, a freelance writer whose work is published in the Dime Magazine, the Los Angeles Times, Baltimore Sun, New York Times. Good to have you with you.
Hey, it's a pleasure to be here. I can cross this off my bucket list. I'm on the Mark Steiner Show. Now,
keep it up. Don't cross it off. We want you to come back. And one of my old friends is on the phone with us, Stan the Fan Charles. Stan Charles, of course, is the publisher, founder of Pressbox and PressboxOnline.com. And Stan, good to have you with us as well.
Good to be with you, Mark. And I just want to tell Ali it's not all that exciting to be on the market.
Thanks, Stan, for that word of encouragement.
I'm a fan.
That's why we're friends, Mark.
It's true. So let's jump into this and see and talk about what is happening. So we fired Cam Cameron, right?
Yes.
Well, we, not we. I didn't do anything. The Ravens did. So what does that mean? Does it mean anything?
No, not in the last 3 weeks or the playoffs. It really doesn't mean a whole lot. It just means that this is something that was in the making for weeks to come, and I don't know. The reports are saying something happened at the Redskins game that kind of boiled over to just make things final, but something happened to the point where they felt like this is a problem that could no longer go on, and they had to do what they had to do. This isn't the first time we've seen this happen. It happened in 2006 when they let Fossil go after 4-2. And the Ravens ended up being 13-3 to end the season. Obviously, they lost in the playoffs. But I've been waiting for this to happen for a while now. I don't really know why they re-signed him in the offseason to a new contract. But, you know, I guess they wanted to give him another chance. I feel like that this is something that's needed. But I don't think that we're going to see any immediate change the last 3 weeks of the season.
Stan?
Well, I think it's clear that John Harbaugh did not wake up Monday morning and say, you know what, I slept on this, and my offensive coordinator's got to go. I think this is something, as Sarita mentioned, that's been in the wind for a while, and I think they're just dissatisfied with the overall progress of one player, and that's Joe Flacco. And when I say they, I think the owner in particular, in concert with Dick Cass, who's his trusted advisor, and Ozzie Newsome. And I just think they were going to push it this time, and I think John wasn't going to fight back this time. I think he knows he would be fighting a losing battle if he didn't accede to what the owner wanted to do this time.
Ali, how you take this?
I'm going to play the devil's advocate here, and I'm going to say it was a dumb move. You know, a lot of people want to point fingers. Let's look at these last two losses. This was the first back-to-back losing streak that the Ravens have had in about 3 years. Cam Cameron didn't have anything to do with RG3 and Kirk Cousins and the Washington Redskins driving 90 yards down the field to tie the score. He didn't have anything to do with the two-point conversion. He didn't have anything to do with that putrid special teams play that allowed the Redskins to return the ball and kick the field goal. Cam Cameron did. Hold on. Let me get it out. Cam Cameron didn't have anything to do with the Ravens defense making 157-year-old Charlie Batch look like Joe Montana. So you can blame the progression of Flacco all you want. Flacco, in 4 years under Cameron's direction, is the organization's all-time leader in passing yards, completion percentage, touchdown passes. Cam Cameron has groomed Drew Brees. He's groomed Philip Rivers. He was instrumental in 1997 with the Washington Redskins with their Pro Bowl quarterback. He is one of the best offensive coordinators, believe it or not, in the history of the NFL. I think it's a knee-jerk reaction. I think 3 games before the playoffs, it doesn't make any sense. And I think if you're going to do something of this magnitude, you still have a chance to win the division back-to-back years. You're still 9-4. You're still one of the best football teams, although offensively you are challenged. So, you know, I don't agree with the move.
Stan, go ahead.
Ali, first of all, I want to be clear. I have not been one of those knee-jerk people that have bashed Cam Cameron. The question was, why did they do it?
Oh, without a doubt.
And so I'm not in total disagreement with you, although I think there's a certain – listen, in this day and age of the salary cap, it is extremely difficult as we watch football games to have a team that is solid on both the offensive and defensive side of the ball. It's interesting how the team started to spend some money on the offense and the defense has gone downhill, and it's played exceptionally well the last four or five games with Dean Pease once he moved upstairs.
Right.
But having said that, I think Bisciotti was just tired of an overall attitude on this team, and I think he's trying, I'm not saying it's going to work,
right,
but I think he was trying to inject something a little bit to wake this team up out of a lethargy, because let's be honest, this is a short window they have right now to win
very
with this
short
football team.
Indeed, yeah. Indeed.
And I let me just say real quick, I agree with you about Cam being one of the greatest offensive coordinators, but, you know, this team under Cam Cameron has not ranked higher than 13th since he's been here. And there are certain things that I just think, there's the old adage, you know, you can buy cologne or perfume and it smells great, but depending on the person, the chemistry isn't always there.
Correct.
And I think that, you know, even though the Ravens added pieces more and more over the years as Cam Cameron came in, there were just some things that just didn't work out. And I think that the biggest issue, I believe, was when Ray Rice had a 30-something yard touchdown, and then he pretty much became non-existent after the Steelers game. We didn't see him at all in the fourth quarter. And a lot of that did have to do with the defense because they were on the field a lot, but even when the offense got the ball, he was nowhere to be found.
So I want to come back to Ray Rice for a minute, but jump into Ray Rice in a second. But let me tell you this question to continue that. Jim Caldwell, who's now been called up to do the job, right, as offensive coach, the quarterback coach, he's never called to play in the NFL.
No.
Right?
No.
Ever.
No.
But he has been a head coach who led a team to the precipice of the Super Bowl. So, you know, you can say, hey, you know, this guy has never called to play, but he's got the acumen, he's got the experience on many different levels. And I just want to backtrack because I agree with Sarita and Stan. You know, there are a couple of things that are working against Cam Cameron. One of them is that last year, Uncle Ben's, you know, most popular flavor, Ray Rice, led the NFL in all-purpose yardage. He was phenomenal last year, and people thought that that's what we were going to see. We were going to see him utilized in a similar capacity. He's only had three games, I believe, where he rushed for 300 yards this year. So there's a sense of frustration, and you have this unbelievable weapon who reminds many people of Marshall Faulk. Why are you not utilizing him? And like you said, you know, why is he not touching the ball at critical junctures in the game? The other thing that's working against him was we came into this season promised that this no-huddle offense was going to be explosive, that we were going to see this new package. And offensively, one of you guys touched on it earlier, you know, Flacco has regressed. So Flacco looks frustrated. They're not running the no-huddle. They're not getting the type of pyrotechnics that we thought we were going to see with this offense. And it's basically been stagnant. So you can see why in this results-driven business, you know, it's a bottom-line, you know, thing. So I kind of understand it. I just don't agree with the timing of it.
Makes sense.
So, Stan? One thing I'll point out, though, this is not the way Peter Angelos or Dan Snyder, two guys that came into sports that made moves of this magnitude early in their tenure. I will give Steve Bisciotti credit. He has sat. He sat by the by the sleeve of Art Modell for a number of years. He sat with Ozzie Newsome. It is his team, and I will say this has not been a knee-jerk. The odd thing is the offense did not play horribly Sunday.
Exactly.
So
they played great in the first half.
This is not something that is a knee-jerk reaction, although it could end up being, it could bite him on the behind. I think this is something he's carefully decide, and if there's one thing that Steve Bisciotti, I think we want to give him a little pass on, is that he may know a little something about personnel, not football personnel, human personnel, and I think there's something that in the relationship, as Sarita mentioned, you know, that didn't smell right between these two guys, and he's got to decide next year whether he's going to pay Joe Flacco as a franchise quarterback. Sarita, you know better than I do. He'll get $14 to $16 million as a franchise next year, or he's going to sign a $100 million contract. And I think Steve Bisciotti wants to take a look at how he focuses or how he's able to play under someone else that he might have a better relationship. And I make the point of saying might have. Who knows? Joe Flacco could be the problem here.
I think many fans would probably think that that's the case.
Do you think that's the case?
No, I don't. I do believe that when it came to this specific offense, he did hit a ceiling. And it's not just him. I think it offensively overall, this offense in general hit a ceiling that they just weren't going to pass as long as Cam Cameron was going to be the offensive coordinator. Do I think that he's the problem fully? No. Is he part of the problem? Absolutely. He doesn't have a mental awareness after maybe 2.5 seconds to maybe I need to move. Maybe I need to keep this play going by moving out of the pocket a little bit. And I think that that bothers people. But then you see the first half that we saw in the Redskins game. And that's why fans are so frustrated, because this is a guy who has the potential to be very good, possibly elite, like he says he wants to be paid like one. And then the second half comes, and then you have a forced fumble and an interception. You know, and that interception hurt, because that was 3 points that could have been, you know, part of the game that would have ended the game, and this wouldn't even be a discussion at this point.
Flacco's definitely professionally bipolar. And,
yes.
And you touch on it. You know, there are flashes.
You're diagnosing him now as
bipolar? I'm diagnosing him, yeah. I've got a bootleg license.
Dr. You know? Danois.
That's right. You know, he looks phenomenal certain times, and you're like, you know, this guy is the franchise. Look at the size. Look at, you know, how young he is. Look at where he's progressed. And this team was, you know, a dropped Lee Evans pass, or, you know, a field goal away last year from taking the Patriots out and going to the Super Bowl. I think we talk about Bisciotti, and I think he was probably frustrated with his inertia last year, because if you remember at the end of the season, we all but assumed Cam Cameron was gone, because there was this same element of frustration. So I think when you talked about Stan, you know, his acumen in terms of personnel and business and what he's accomplished and knowing personalities and what has to be done, I think this was something that he was chewing on his bottom lip for much of the season when they lost to Philadelphia, when they beat the Browns, the doo-doo Browns, by a score of 9-6. You know,
That was the Chiefs.
The Chiefs, you know, you know, some of these games, I think he probably said, man, I really should have pulled the trigger on this, and maybe – you know, like you touched on, something's got to be done now to get everybody's attention focused and ready for this playoff run.
So let me encourage our listeners to call in at 410-319-8888. We have an ancient body of listeners that live in Prince George's County, live in Baltimore City in the area. They are loyalties are all over the place. Join us here. Stan, you got to go in a second. So what were we going to say? I'm sorry.
I was just going to say that, you know, it's all very interesting fodder. It was interesting. I was out there yesterday at training camp. It was interesting to see how John Harbaugh, he's very expert at getting the message out that he tries to get out. It never was, if you listen to that the press conference, he would never let it be said that Steve Bisciotti had anything to do with this. So John Harbaugh was pretty good yesterday at taking a grenade on this one.
Stan, I'm going to run. Stan the Fan Charles, publisher of the Press Box. If you don't know it, read it. If you don't read it, read it now. PressBoxOnline.com. Stan, thanks for being with us.
Mark, thank you. Thanks, Ali and Sarita. It was fun talking with you.
Yeah, same here, Stan.
All right.
So he took himself out of a party to join us for a few minutes, so we appreciate that. It is Christmas party time season. Let's go to the phones at 410-319-8888. And I meant that about the listeners here at WEAA. We are all over the state. There are people who love the Washington team. There are people who are with the Eagles. There are people here with the Ravens. So wherever you are, 410-319-8888 is the number here. Or write to us at steinershow@gmail.com. Go to our Facebook page, Mark Steiner, and write about it there. Clarence, you're on the air.
Hey, thanks, Mr. Steiner.
Thanks for calling.
I've given Joe Flacco every chance in the world, but twice yesterday I watched this guy walk up to the line when there was an obvious overload, and he didn't call a timeout and say, I don't like what I'm seeing on across from me. Any Peyton Manning or any of those other franchise quarterbacks would have looked at that and saw that there was something coming, and he didn't do it. So, you know, it's like you fire this guy, the offensive manager, coach, but really, I think Joe Flacco lost that game. Thank you very much.
Joe Flacco lost the game. Sarita.
He didn't... No, I'm not going to go that far. And, you know, let me say this, too. Joe Flacco's not Peyton Manning. He's not Tom Brady. Peyton Manning is Peyton Manning. Tom Brady is Tom Brady. And Drew Brees is Drew Brees. he's not going to be Peyton Manning. I want people to stop comparing him to Peyton Manning. I want him to stop comparing him to Tom Brady. He's just not going to be that guy. He's going to be very good. And that's it. And you should be okay with that, because if you're a Ravens fan, you dealt with Eric Zier and Stoney Case and Kyle Bowler and Scott Mitchell for a long time. So this is the best that we've had since Vinny Testaverde, and that's when they first came here. So stop comparing the guy. No, he didn't lose the game. Could he have put the team in better positions to win? Absolutely, but no. There's a whole lot of issues with this team, and it's not just Joe Flacco.
I'm in full agreement. You know, to compare for folks who kind of have, I call this disease diarrhea of the lip. Because all they do is spew this nonsense.
I'm going to give you a doctor. Hey, Dr.
Thanks,
Ali,
thanks, man. I spend enough time studying. So, but, you know, Sarita touches on a point. To compare Joe Flacco to a guy like Peyton Manning, to a guy like Tom Brady, that's like comparing Little John to Frank Sinatra. It's not happening. You know, Flacco is good. He's still in development. When you look at that third down play, the blocking broke down. This is a squad of specialists. He has to depend on those guys in front of him, his running backs to pick up those reads, pick up those blocks, his receivers to get open. Granted, he's got a short window to fit that ball into some seams, but he's got to make a move when the blocking breaks down. He's got Anquan Boldin open in the middle of the field, but because of the situation and the timing, you know, maybe RG3 can make that throw. Maybe Mike Vick can make that throw. But every NFL quarterback cannot make that throw. So when you just say, I'm going to put this all on Flacco, that makes as much sense as a penny.
Let's go back to the phones at 410-319-8888. Tony and Laurel, you're on the air.
Hey, how's it going, Mark?
Very well, Tony. Welcome.
Hey, I watched the game, and I have two qualifications. First, I'm a Redskins fan, and two, I'm not a fan of Flacco, but hear me out. The Ravens did not lose the game because of Flacco or Cam Cameron. Think about it. If in the past, if Flacco throws three touchdowns, you win a game. Your defense is usually good enough to win a game. How many touchdowns do you want Flacco to throw? You know, you guys really – the Ravens miss Ray Lewis, they miss Terrell Suggs, and that's the bottom line. And eventually you have to groom players to replace them, but you didn't lose to the Redskins because of Flacco. He threw three touchdowns. There's not much more you can ask them.
So so let's look at the defense. Is that part of without Lewis, without Suggs, is it over?
It's not over, but because 9-4 is not over. But, you know, he just named two people. I got a whole list of people I can go down. We're missing Ladarius Webb. Ed Reed is not 100%. Haloti Ngata is not 100%. You have guys, Danelle Ellerby didn't play, who I think that was imperative because they were down to picking Northwood 10-12 kids to play linebacker in the fourth quarter last Sunday. So there are a lot of guys that were not available to play. You have a guy like Ian Badagio, who is a special teamist. Now you're asking him to be the linebacker because we don't have anyone left on the bench because everybody's hurt. So, yes, he's absolutely right, but I think that a lot of people give the defense the pass because Ray Lewis is missing, because Terrell Suggs is missing, because Ladarius Webb is missing. And to a degree, I understand that, but I don't think that it's fair. They had the ball, the Redskins, 5 minutes left into the game. They take RG3 out, and they still let Kirk Cousins come in, score a touchdown. Oh, let's not forget the fact that they had a penalty, and it was 2nd and 20, and they got a 15-yard gain off
right,
of that. So
right.
It's just a lot of stuff that's going on that also contributed as well.
Let me jump to the phones here.
Go ahead.
Back to our other guest, Ali, as well. 410-319-8888. Edward in Baltimore, you're on the air.
I'd just like to make a comment about Flacco.
Sure.
Everybody's talking about Flacco, but I think that Flacco, he's young, he's healthy, and he's a good quarterback. And he's going to be a very good quarterback for the Ravens. I think he makes good decisions, but he's not perfect, you know. But I think that we're going to win two out of these three games that's coming up, and we'll make the playoffs.
There goes the question. So, Dr. Danois.
I like the sound of that.
You like that?
Yeah.
What do you think? That was going to be one of my questions. Are we going to get to the playoffs?
Yes, we are. We're going to get to the playoffs, and we're probably going to win the division.
So?
Yeah, but I predicted prior to the Redskins game that we would go 1-3 in the stretch. And I mean,
that's a great prediction.
You can pick where the one is going to come from. I don't know.
1-3.
Yeah, I predicted that they would go
only
1-3.
And that's
a 10-6 finish.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at that final stretch, you're going to have to deal with Peyton Manning and that Mile High defense. They are a force to be reckoned with. When you look at the AFC, you know, you're really talking about three kind of elite teams, even though, you know, the behind whipping that they put on the Texans last night, the New England Patriots, that was similar to grandma telling you to go get a switch. So, you know, we know that New England is upper echelon. We know that Houston is pretty good. Maybe they got spanked last night really bad, but that's not kind of indicative of who they are. And we know Denver. Right now, we know that the Ravens are really not on that level. Beautiful thing about the NFL is you can't judge from week to week. The Giants were 9-7, squeaked into the playoffs last year. Everybody had
right.
Green Bay hoisting that trophy, and then Eli Manning
I did.
Walked off with it. So it's a week-to-week proposition. There's a lot of things that are not right with the Ravens, but they can get it right, and all they got to do is get hot. I agree with Sarita. I looked at these last four games and said, I thought the Redskins were going to catch them. Giants are going to be a tough game. Denver is going to be a tough game. Cincinnati is going to be a tough game. I think they'll get one of them, hopefully more. But if they can get that one, like she said, man, you know, 10-6, win the division. Hey, and now you're in the tournament, and that's all you can
that's
ask
all
for.
That's all that matters at that point.
Let us go to Sarah in Baltimore. You're on the air.
Oh, hi.
Hi, Sarah.
I just want to say my comment. Can you guys hear me?
Yes, we can. Go ahead.
Okay, I just want to say my comment that, you know, Joe Flacco is a good player. I just think he needs more time in the pocket, and the right tackle and left tackle need to defend him more so that he can have more time in the pocket to make better plays.
I agree with that to a degree. I do think that Michael Ward had a rough outing. I think that's fair, right? Mm-hmm. In the second half of the Redskins game particularly. That's fair, but when 3 seconds comes and nobody's open, your mental clock has to say, okay, I need to do something here. And last week in the Steelers game, you're going against the number one ranked defense. We know what the Steelers can do, and you have 3 seconds, and you can't find anybody open. Okay, well, now it's time to do something.
Right.
And that's the problem that I have with Joe. I think it's a combination of the offensive line can block better. They could get the pass rush off him a little bit. But I think that he has to do better with getting that ball out of his hands. He has 12 fumbles. 12.
And that's 12. A sign of the elite NFL quarterback that people are trying to compare him to. It's not what you can do when you've got a perfect pocket. You can set. You can step into the throw. You can rifle it. You can put some touch on it. It's what you're able to make happen after that 3 seconds elapses and the pocket breaks down. And are you able to create? Are you able to get it to the check down guy? Do you know where the check down guy is? Are you able to create something where there is nothing? And that's the difference between a Peyton Manning.
We only have like 90 seconds left. But let me ask this quick question. Has the Ravens' success to this point been a fluke anyway?
No.
You are what your record says you are.
No.
In the NFL.
You don't go to the playoffs 4 years in a row.
This will be the fifth.
And five consecutive
They're
and say
a good
this
team.
Is a fluke. No.
Yeah. They're not horrific. They're just, you know, not as good as some people thought they might be at
Correct.
This juncture in the season.
And, you know, injuries does that. I think a lot of times, you know, you don't factor injuries when you go into the season. You don't expect your biggest guys to go down. So you have to, that's to be fair. Nine and four. It could be 4-9. I'll take 9-4.
Let me ask you this. Will both of you, Ali Danois and Sarita Hubbard, come back here as we
Love
wind
to.
The season through? And
Absolutely.
I've had a great
little,
time.
Little weekly update on sports.
We can do it.
I want to talk about the fight, but we didn't get to that.
We can talk about that. We got to talk about my New York Knicks, too.
We can do that.
Yeah.
We can do that.
NBA, LeBron, baby.
Basketball, I can talk all day long.
All right.
Boxing, I can talk all day
All right,
long.
Let's do it.
So, well, Pacquiao still sleeps, so I don't know if that's a good idea.
He just took his thumb out of his mouth.
That punch was something.
Yeah, something else. Ferocious.
I don't want to blame it on steroids. It was just a good punch.
It was great punch.
Perfect punch.
Thank you both so much for being here. It's
Thank
been great
you.
To have you. And Stan Charles, thanks for joining us earlier. Sarita Hubbard and Ali Danois. Sarita Hubbard, publisher of sports blogs, NFLChick.com and GridironGals.com. Ali Danois, you hear him on the Baltimore Blend here on WEAA, senior editor of Bounce Magazine, and read him in publications across America.
My man.
Good to have you all here.
Thank you
so much. On the way out of here, I remind you the Mark Steiner Show is brought to you in part by MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, offering a full range of financial services. MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, is helping its members and its community prosper. When you invest in yourself, MeQ invests in you. Remember, it's a credit union, not just a bank. It belongs to you. For more information, www.mecu.com. And the Mark Steiner Show is a production of the Center for Emerging Media. Our senior producer, our producers are Bobby Marvin Holmes, Mark Gunnery, and Stephanie Marvonis. Our engineer is Andrew Holt. Our interns are Latrice Eddy and Marissa Edmond, deep into their finals at the moment. Our theme music is by Warren Matthews of Clean Cuts. To hear this show again, podcast, any of our past shows, find out about our guests and their work, please visit us on the web at steinershow.org. Join me tomorrow morning from 6 to 8 a.m. on the Baltimore Blend. We'll be broadcasting live from the North Arch Cafe on Charles Street. Be there with us, and it'll be a blast. And so for Public Radio, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community, I'm Mark Steiner. Take care.